my name's Tony.
My name's Steve.
And welcome to The Pit Lane, Formula One's unofficial podcast. And to be quite fair, it's good to be back, Steve. How are you?
Oh, very well. How are you?
What have you been up to, man?
Not a lot,
apart from watching, obviously, the Australian Grand Prix, watching testing, blah, 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 blah.
Just like, squeeze that in the meantime.
Yeah, just squeezing that in. But, yeah, guys, sorry for the long delay, but we're back. So, what we're going to do is we're going to run through our kind of story of testing, then into basically qualifiers, and then into race day. So, I tell you what, let's just get straight into it. I'm fine. We said Steve's fine. So, yeah, let's get on with it. So, we're going to get on with the story of testing and what we think. So, story of testing, guys. Let's go. So then, Steve, story of testing. So basically, what do you feel testing as like, what do you feel it's told us basically so far?
McLaren are in trouble.
You think McLaren are in trouble?
Oh, they're in a lot of trouble.
Oh, they're in a world of hurt. An absolute world of hurt.
Well, it was after one of the testing days, they talked to Eric Boullier, who actually said that the relationship is at a strain between McLaren and Honda.
I know Honda are currently looking for another team. I mean, that's a bit of news that's come out from Australia. So, you know.
Yeah, they're looking to supply more engines, but who wants an engine that can't compete?
Exactly. And there was a social media video that popped up, and basically there was a couple of cars that went past. I think one was a Ferrari, and I think another one, I think there was a Williams. And then literally behind that was the McLaren, and it sounded so bad.
It just sounds ill.
It does. I don't know what they're playing at. I mean, they've had all. I mean, Ron Dennis, you know, when he said, "Oh, we're going to get Honda engines. These are going to be like the engines to take us forward."
They wouldn't go back to
like
the golden era when it was McLaren Honda and they were winning everything. But times have changed. The era has changed, and the formula has changed.
Oh, exactly. Cars have changed, and as we can see, we'll go on to that further as we go. I'm going to say, it's going to be completely tight at the top. That's what I'm going to say. I mean, you look at the times, you hope
it's going to be tight.
Or, I mean, looking at, you know, obviously we've got Mercedes, Ferrari, you know, Williams, Red Bull, you know, they're all going to kind of be pushing to get, you know, on the podium and get them points early on, aren't they? You know, to give their good season, you know, a good start.
Yeah.
I was impressed with Mercedes. I mean, then obviously none of them are going to show any hands, are they? They're just going to hold.
Testing is just checking reliability and making sure all the little wing pieces, all the little ideas they've got, they either work or they don't. Those donkeys ain't turned up to max. They're just turned down, they're wound down, and it's just, let's go out. Every now and then, we'll turn the motor up a little bit just to see how hard we can push the tyres. But then at the same time, you can't really take a lot from Barcelona testing because the track temperature won't be right for a start.
Yeah.
Wrong time of year. It's a lot colder than it would be race weekend. And it is purely just, it's just testing. It's just making sure that every component that they've designed, they've changed, works.
I mean, it was a mixed bag for me, like testing. I mean, there was that Vettel crash. He crashed, didn't he, on one of the testing days?
Yeah, Maranello, he crashed it.
And obviously there was people there taking pictures of the new car. So it was a bit of an embarrassing moment for him, I would have thought.
Yes.
But to be quite fair to you, I think, to be fair, looking at testing overall for the top lot, I think Mercedes are going to be still the one to beat. I think Ferrari are going to step their game up. I think, to be quite fair, they're going to, everything's going to progress in the right way for them top, say, five teams. So for me, Williams, Red Bull,
they've all got a chance to do it. The development structure's changed, so there's no more token system.
Yeah.
So there's no more, oh, if I spend these four tokens on a combustion chamber, I can't change some of the turbo elements for this amount. There's none of that now. It is, I've got an idea, it works, put it on the car. That's all it is.
I mean,
there's no more, well, we haven't got the tokens to do this, we're going to have to wait till next season, which, in effect, could have hampered Honda.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to spend all this money to upgrade the engines early and feel like they haven't got a push because McLaren haven't got the tokens left.
I think, to be quite fair, Charlie, I mean, it's good that the token system, you know,
it's gone.
It's gone. Because, like you said, as soon as them parts are ready and they're tested, and you can get, just slap it on. If it makes the car go faster, it helps.
Formula One is the development race.
Yeah.
Whoever came up with that idea is just as good as the idea for double points in the last Grand Prix. That didn't last long.
It will never last long on double points because All right, fair enough. If you get to that last thing, someone's always got a chance of winning that last race. But you want to see, you want to see teams, and you want to see, you know, drivers duke it out throughout the whole of the season. You don't want to just sit there and be like, oh well, you know, we're going to see a Mercedes runaway thing. We're going to see a Ferrari runaway, you know, victory. You want to see them duke it out throughout the season. And so what if it gets to the last race and someone's won it? You know, you've seen the best part of the championship, maybe a race before, two races before, and then you're going to see everyone, you know,
Everyone's going to be 49 points behind. Engine pops on the leader, and then
exactly.
We're going back to the McLaren thing.
Yeah.
Everyone knew that Manor was the slowest last year, and most likely Sauber are going to be the slowest this year. But everyone just sort of knew they were backmarkers. The reason people want McLaren to do so well is the fact that they've got Alonso. Alonso will outdrive any car he is given, full stop.
Yeah, exactly.
If he was in a car like that was even, I'd say even within a quarter of a second a lap, or even a half a second a lap, then the Mercedes and the Ferraris, he'd be there with them. But I think that's what gets everyone upset and frustrated with McLaren, because you've got a driver like Fernando Alonso.
I mean, he's
fighting for scraps. He's fighting for or 2 points.
We chatted before when we was watching like the race, and we've watched some testing and stuff like that. But you really do highly regard Alonso driver-wise.
Any Formula One fan, Alonso will be in their top three best drivers.
Really?
On the current grid, yeah.
So who is your top three now then?
Top three would be Hamilton, Ricciardo, Alonso.
I mean, we've got a lot to
talk
about.
It is hard because there's Vettel should be in there.
Yeah.
And so should Max Verstappen. But Max Verstappen, for me, is still a bit too hot-headed with his defending.
And he's got to prove a bit more, I think. He's done a lot of proving, don't get me wrong. And there's
like
a lot
last
from him.
In Brazil. That was fantastic. But he was on a lot of fresh tyres. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, let's take it away from the kid. He done a job that probably only three or four drivers on that grid could have done.
Yeah.
But he did. He's got a lot to prove still. He's got to mature more, I think.
I think that's brilliant. I mean, let's talk about a bit about the midfield. I mean, you know, we're talking Williams, Force India, Toro Rosso, you know, the list, you know, goes on and on and on. Do you know what I mean?
Renault, Toro Rosso had a big surprise for me.
I mean,
and it is my favourite looking car.
Oh,
the Toro Rosso, for me, is the best looking car
in
that group.
It is, definitely.
But I think Toro Rosso, if they put, like, they've got last year's Ferrari engine in it. If they had, like, for example, this year's Ferrari engine or even a Mercedes engine, I think you'd see them up there a bit more. Maybe not fighting for podiums, but maybe, like,
well, teeting around, like, full fifth.
Yeah, sixth. You don't know. They might even be able to, like, fight for maybe fourth, maybe even third in the constructors. Because first and second, from what we've seen in testing and qualifying and the race, it's going to be Mercedes or Ferrari.
Oh, it's going to be Mercedes Ferrari. We know that. And to be quite fair, but I want to see if Williams can push forward this season.
Williams are hampered because it's a high aero era.
Yeah.
Williams are notorious for high top speed.
Yeah.
So they just slim the wings down and everything. Yeah. But then, looking at what happened in qualifying, they might have gone a different way. And they have got Paddy Lowe now, who wasn't Mercedes last year.
Yeah.
He's now bought into Williams, so he's there. So he may be able to say to Frank and Claire Williams, say, look, you need to start doing this rather than this.
Driver-wise, though, for Williams?
Lance Stroll, not my first choice of drivers, especially some of the talents in GP2.
Yeah.
For example, one that turned up out of nowhere because Wehrlein
didn't
do quality. But we'll
get
into
that
qualifying.
We'll get into that,
Lance Stroll, for me, he's quick.
Yeah.
I can't see him being consistent enough for a championship. But at the end of the day, Daddy's a billionaire.
Yeah,
money speaks.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially in the
world
of Formula One, money speaks
a lot
more than talent does.
Yeah.
So that's probably the only reason he's there. It's purely money.
And the other driver?
Felipe Massa.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone loves the other. He didn't want to retire. They'd done an interview afterwards when it was announced that he'd be coming back. He said, I never wanted to retire. I just felt I was past it, and he missed it. And then when he got back in the car, and he felt the downforce that was being produced in testing, he just loved it, and he felt like he was back at home.
To be quite fair,
Massa's a good call. You've got a young rookie who's going to make mistakes. We've seen him bin the car a few times already.
Yeah.
He's going to be inconsistent. He may get a lucky point every now and then and a good result, whereas Massa will get you consecutives.
Yeah.
He might not have faster reactions. Yeah. He might not be physically fitter. But mentally, he's in a place to know that he's like the people's champion. Everyone believes in Felipe.
Yeah.
Everyone knows what he's capable of.
I was about to say, I think, to be quite fair, with Felipe in that seat, I think Williams could be a dark horse for maybe one or two podiums this year.
I'd like to see how they get on in Monza.
Oh, yeah.
So a high speed, low downforce track. They could do quite well because it looked like they had quite good tyre wear and the Australian Grand Prix. Once again, we'll get into that later.
I do. I think, to be quite, like I said, I think they're just dark horses. Just purely, I think, like you said, they've got the speed. They just need to sort out their aerodynamics. They've got a kind of good team there. You know, Mass has proven, you know, we've got Lance as well. But
yeah. Well, we've still got to wait and see with Lance. Cause
that's what I mean. I reckon
going from where he's come, which I think it was Formula 3 to F1,
wow,
that is a jump.
That is a jump. I mean, why couldn't we have had someone from GP2?
That's
though?
Like taking a kid from sports day and going, oh, here you go, there's an Olympic attempt for you.
It is, though, isn't it? But it's like you said, money talks, and if dad's got a couple of pounds in his pocket and it's going to, you know, wet the whistle of
behind him.
That's it, exactly. But if it's going to wet the whistle, I suppose they're just going to take it.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, as well, what we saw in practice, testing.
We got there in the end.
Also what we see in testing as well is the absolute speed and velocity we're going to, you know, obviously, like we said, you know, some of them were sandbagged and they all will be.
The only team that weren't sandbagged were McLaren because they couldn't keep the engine running.
But that's it. But at the end of the day, we did see speed. We know it's going to be fast and furious. And we're going to talk about that as we you know, go on with this podcast. But they were literally, some of them, even when I was watching them, I was thinking, through corners, I was thinking, yeah, you know what I mean? We're going to be in for something this season. You know, they're literally twitching them into corners. They weren't, you know, kind of slip and slide. They were kind of twitch in, twitch out. Really good. It's going to be nice to see a couple of them high-speed chicanes, what they can do.
Oh, yeah, these cars.
Absolutely.
The sheer mechanical grip they'll have because of the tyres would be, the change in directions.
Oh, it's going to be absolutely awesome.
Like, what, to anyone who's never been to a race, we went to Silverstone the last year they had the V8s.
Oh, that's amazing.
The speed you see on TV does not do these cars justice. You have to see it for your own eyes to believe just how fast they actually are.
And I mean, with kind of, you know, being, you know, faster cars, you know, they're going to be a slight more aggressive. You know, Gs are going to be quite high as well.
Oh, yeah.
G-force and stuff like that. They're going to have to be physically fit.
Physically fit.
And I think to be quite fair, like, we'll get onto another story about that because there was a story about this in the race, Australian race, but they're going to have to be physically fit. Do you know what I mean?
When it comes to Singapore, Malaysia, Abu Dhabi, the hot, humid races. You're going to see drivers make some serious mistakes, whereas I wouldn't be surprised if they reintroduce different safety barriers or buff up the safety barriers in races like that, because the heat is going to kill it. For example, I don't know if anyone remembers Singapore, Danny Kvyat's.
Yeah.
So exciting, one of the electrics, and it started to boil his drinking water in the car.
Wow.
And they're telling him to drink, and he's like, I can't, it's burning my mouth. In that situation, with these cars, he won't have the opportunity
it'll be one of them forced moments where he's going to have to go into the pits, get something changed up, or just retire.
Yeah, either retire for his own safety.
Yeah.
If the stewards get that concerned about him and they see that he's sloppy, his lap times are dropping off, they could black flag him and it could be your race is over.
Oh, exactly. I mean,
the stewards are going to have to watch highly on the drivers.
Do you think they're going to... Because
they'll have all the heart sensors and everything built into the suits where they're monitoring the drivers.
Yeah.
If they start to see any significant changes, I think you may see stewards call drivers in to say, look, you are not fit to race.
Do you think that's going to be the case?
It's hot races, yeah. Maybe not Singapore, because it's not really such
just humidity.
A high-speed track. It's the humidity, as you said.
Yeah.
But when we get to, like, Malaysia, that's got some fast corners.
Yeah.
And it's got some very tight hairpins where the slightest mistake, and you could be in the back of another car. But tracks like that, I wouldn't be surprised if the stewards have them in their briefing rooms.
Yeah.
They're monitoring heart rates and whatnot, if they don't already.
Well, you say that. I've got a lovely quote here from Carlos Sainz. He was basically explaining, you know, the pressure cooker kind of environments that, you know, races are going to be doing, you know, or giving the drivers. And he said, when we go 3 to 4 seconds, you know, per lap quicker, our heart rates, instead of being at 150, 160 BPM, in qualies it will be to 180, 190. So it means you'll be working out a lot more. and enjoying it a lot more because the car will allow you to push a bit more. So for me, that's a good insight of what a driver's kind of looking forward to.
Oh yeah, I guarantee
the season
quality,
ahead.
A lot of drivers are smiling.
Oh, and a lot of, I mean, there's a famous picture here. They're all doing heavy neck exercises.
Oh yeah, they will be.
They all will be doing heavy neck.
I can't wait to see O'Rouge.
Yeah.
The Spa.
Really?
That's. I think last year it was like 6 or 7 years. They hit the bottom of the hill and came up to the crest. With cars with a lot more downforce, the straps are going to pull those drivers back into the car.
Yeah.
And yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I reckon you will see a few retirements this year due to fatigue.
Wow.
Or you'll see a few.
And do you reckon that's a first? That's going to be a first, surely. Well, not
possibly,
a first.
Yeah,
but...
because I think this is the highest amount of downforce the cars have ever had. This is the widest they've ever been.
Yeah.
The heaviest they've ever been.
Yeah.
For this sort of our generation, not going back to the old days. But for our generation, I think this is probably the heaviest the cars would ever be.
Yeah, wow. It's gonna be absolutely amazing to see if that happens, that we get to a race and then we get see fatigue, and like you said, we do see the stewards go, look, you can't race, you're going to have to stick this one out. Oh, but I've qualified in such and such. You can just see it now, couldn't you? Oh, yeah. My quality, my this, my that, I'm fine. And then it's going to be up to the team, and the team are then going to have to step in and
that's
be like...
reserve drivers are for.
Well, exactly. And this is, like we said, the story we're going to get onto later, you know, in qualifying and obviously race day in Australia. But what were you about to say, Steve? You had something there on the tip of your tongue, no?
Oh.
No, you've lost it. So, right, let me get on to the next part. I mean, Renault, let's talk about their reliability. I think it's going to be so much under spotlight this season in testing because, you know, they made bold changes for this year. The power unit is 95% different.
Yeah, I'll say
to
I read
what,
about that last week.
Yeah, you know, to what
95% is a large amount to change
exactly.
An engine. If you spend all that money developing the engine last year,
why
completely change it? Because you've started to understand one engine and one power unit and how it all works to go, well, actually, we've got a different idea. It might not work, but we'll go with it anyway. Whoever made that decision probably just thought the sheer fact that we've spent all this money developing another engine, it might be 20 brake horsepower down, but we might get a little bit more reliability. Mm. Reliability on TV looks better than engines blowing up.
Well, I mean, 90. I mean, you're talking.
Then last year, I think
you're talking like 5%.
We saw blow up last year. Was that one's?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't remember seeing anybody else's engines go. Oh wait, no. Vettel's went in.
Yeah.
Silverstone. No, not Silverstone.
No.
Bahrain.
Yeah, that's it.
Bahrain went pop on the formation lap, I think.
Remember that, to be quite fair. And there's me going, Silverstone. But yeah, anyway, I mean, like I said, like, you can't, it's going to, like I said, 95%
I think
difference.
This is TV troubles. Give them time.
Do you reckon they'll just iron it all out and then just get onto that right track again? Because, you know, Renault were a force, weren't they? When they had Alonso, they had that lovely blue and yellow car.
Yeah, but going back to the V10 days.
Do you know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. But everything seemed to fall into place for Renault. You know, it seems to fall into place for these teams that come up. Then it went on to, you know, the mantle was passed on to Red Bull.
The only thing that Red Bull got on their side at the moment is the fact that they are a manufacturer.
Yeah.
So they do have a lot more resources than, say, Williams or Force India. Their budget is probably... maybe twice, maybe even three times the size.
I mean, it's going to be a good one to call, I think, this year. You know, whether...
It'll be a close one to call. Cause as
it
we
will
get,
be. It will be.
The first, say, the first three or four races, the teams will still treat it as a little bit of testing. Hmm. But I'll say that, for the teams that have more to gain.
Yeah, exactly.
For example, Mercedes ain't going to go throwing a brand new wing on it,
no,
thinking
ain't.
It's going to work and hoping it's going to work, because they could really lose out.
Oh, they could
Whereas,
lose heavily.
You might have, say, Force India or even Sauber, like, we've got a little part. It might make a difference. We'll throw it on.
Mm.
So it's that little thing. And then if, say, Sauber suddenly gained half a second a lap and everyone's like, how's that happened? Then all the teams will have pictures of the cars. They'll be analysing it compared to last week's car or the last race car.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, that little bit there. Let's try that. Let's put it in the simulator. Put it.
Yeah.
Just develop it. Do it in like a 1/20th scale.
Yeah.
And put it in the wind tunnel. Tell me what comes out as.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they've got an extra 3-4% downforce.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll do that.
Oh, it's gonna be so fascinating to see once all these little kind of like extra bits and pieces come out, upgrades and stuff. Let's just hope it just adds that brilliant element to.
It will
you
do.
Know.
The only thing I hope is that no teams run away with it.
Yeah.
So I don't want Mercedes all of a sudden to develop the brand new diffuser.
Oh, no.
And out of nowhere, they're half a second quicker again. Or even,
but it's difficult to say with the Silver Arrows, because at the end of the day, they are that kind of team, and they are that manufacturer. They were in testing way before when the first changes come in. That's why they were so hot and effective.
Yeah.
You know, as soon as that rule book come in, or them rule changes come in and was put on the desk, it was like, right, we're on it, we're changing it.
Oh yeah, straight away. The first thing the engineers would be looking for was loopholes.
German efficiency at the end of the day.
Oh, yeah. look what Volkswagen did.
Exactly.
Exploiting the rules.
Exactly. So, I mean, the other thing was, you know, is Bottas going to be prepared to battle with Hamilton? Are we going to see a kind of same battle that he had, that Hamilton had with, you know, Rosberg? And what do you think that's going to be like? Do you think it's going to be very timid? Do you think it's going to be friends at first, and then they're going to feel each other out, and then it's going to be game on? Or do you think it's game on from the start?
I think they'll be civil about it.
Yeah.
But it'll be like what happened between Hamilton and Rosberg in Spain. As soon as a little bit of contact comes into it, it suddenly becomes dirty. Or if, say, Hamilton's leading, he pits, Bottas overtakes him. But Bottas, he's got to look after his own interests, but say he doesn't move aside, that will make the relationship sour. But I don't think Hamilton's got to worry about that. Bottas is, from what we've seen for interviews, he's a company man.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to do what the team tends to do, because he's only on a year contract, so he doesn't want to go upsetting people.
Oh, no.
All he's got to do
is
keep his nose clean, get the points, and help to win the constructors.
Oh, if he can help to win that... If he's a contributing factor winning that Constructors' Championship, then the contract will be slid, literally, underneath his
doormat. The only thing
that
I'm looking forward to is Bottas and Raikkonen are a bit... They're not the best of friends, put it that way. It'll be interesting to see, because those two are going to be side-by-side a lot more.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, they're going to be... You're going to have Vettel kind of, you know what I mean, kind of taking that Hamilton role in Ferrari, and then you're going to have Raikkonen, which he's not going to like that. You know what I mean? The Iceman's not going to like that one bit, you know. No. But he's going to try and push it himself. I mean, we'll talk about other stuff that's come up, you know, in the race that's, you know, we're going to talk about, Australia. But apart from that, I personally, my thoughts are, I think they're going to be... He's, like you said, he's going to be that company man to start off with. He's going to be, yes, all right, Hamilton needs a bit of defending. I need to slow cars down a bit. I still need to get them extra points to get us onto the, you know, the board with the constructors. I personally think he's going to be the ideal man for Hamilton this year, for Hamilton to go forward and win that championship.
I hope he can take it, though. That's what spectators want. Like last year, we had Rosberg and Hamilton. The year before, we had Rosberg and Hamilton.
Yeah.
You want to see it like Brazil, like 3-4 years ago.
Oh yeah, definitely.
When you didn't just have one driver fight or two drivers fight for the world championship.
Yeah.
At one point, there was mathematically it was possible for four drivers to win the world championship. Mm-hmm. That's what people want. They don't want, oh yeah, it's America. Hamilton's already won the championship.
Hamilton's done it well.
We've still got three races left to go, but he's world champion, so.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a lot to talk about. We're still got a lot to talk about, but this is only the testing part of this podcast, guys. I mean, we're kind of already hyped for what we're going to be talking about in the next two segments. But to be quite fair to you, we've both got that kind of both feeling about Bottas. You know, he's going to help him. We'll see how far he gets on before they start falling out and all that luck. But talking of new drivers, I want to talk about the rookies. So Esteban Ocon. You know, Stoffel Vandoorne, am I saying that right?
Stoffel Vandoorne.
And then we've got Lance Stroll. You know, there are only a few names, to be quite fair, that have been thrown into this hat for new drivers this year.
Officially, they were the three rookies before the Australian Grand Prix.
Yeah, exactly.
But Esteban Ocon, he drove for Manor. He had a few races with Manor.
Yeah.
I think he is a Mercedes-sponsored boy. I think he is.
Do you reckon?
It could be, because I think Mercedes were involved in his move to Force India.
Yeah.
But I'm not entirely sure on that. That's just my personal opinion.
Yeah.
Lance Stroll, I don't rate him. From what I've seen so far.
Yeah, you're not convinced,
are you? I'm not convinced he's worth being there. I don't think he's Formula One material.
But I'm going to go against you on that one. I think, personally, he's going to be quite handy. I think he's going to be handy for Massa. I think he's going to be handy for Williams.
I'll tell you what, he's got the best mentor on the grid.
I'm telling you, but this is what I'm saying to you. Like, for me, if I had to go, right, my rookie for the season, I'd literally say Lance Stroll. I would literally, because like you just said, he's got Massa next to him. Yeah. He's got a good experienced Williams team. I know, but
Van Dorn's got Alonso. If Alonso's willing to share for the benefit of the team, he's probably got the better person. Stroll's got a better car.
Yeah.
But I'd much rather have Fernando Alonso teaching me than Felipe Massa.
So I reckon what we should do now, seeing as it's the first race, this is testing, we should stick by our rookie of the season. Who okay. we think is going to be rookie of the season. I am going to say...
Regardless of points.
Regardless... No, we're going to go...
Just
with, no.
general performance.
No, I'm like going to say...
races.
How should we do this? Should we say better on points? Or should we say who...
Well, better on points is not going to be Van Dorn, is it? Because he's... Let's face it, he's in the McLaren. He's just spent half the races.
All right, let's talk about... I'll tell you what. We'll review it at the end of the season. So you're going to get this now. So we'll see who we thought was our top. We'll do a revisit.
Yeah, we'll do a revisit. But I'll say Van Dorn.
You're going to go with Van Dorn, yeah?
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to go Stroll. So for me, Tony, it's going to be Williams's Lance Stroll. And for you, Stephen, it's going to be...
McLaren, Honda, Stoffel, Van Dorn.
So... they're going to be our rookies to watch this season. So, guys, if you have any, you know, kind of, how can I put it, queries, or you go, if they have a bad race, then you can put in the comments below, oh, Steve, oh, Toe.
Yeah, you let us
you
down.
Know, you let us down. Oh, la, la. But you can also have banters with us, guys. So, yeah, remember, everything in the comments below, we'll talk about that a bit later on in the podcast. But to be quite fair, I think that's going to be us with testing.
Yeah, we've still got qualies in the race to go. Qualies will be quite short.
Qualies, yeah, will be quite short because I think it was pretty straightforward, to be quite fair. But yeah, so that was our story of testing, guys. I hope you enjoyed it, and let's move on. So we are now going to move on to the story of qualifying. I will put some music in there somewhere. I think I'll put it in around about now. Testing. Right, so wow, I mean,
well, the main thing for testing was the sudden driver change for Sauber. So you got,
talk us through it.
Well, Fairline should have been racing for Sauber. He should have been qualifying.
Exactly.
As far as I'm aware, obviously work related, I couldn't watch him all because of the times.
Yeah.
He done P1 and P2.
Yeah.
And then P3. There was a decision that he himself made, apparently, that he couldn't race due to his injuries that he got in the Race of Champions. And if anyone hasn't watched it, goes to Race of Champions.
Yeah.
Him and Massa had a coming together. It was completely Wehrlein's fault.
Yeah.
And out of the two, out of Wehrlein and the passenger, I felt sorry for the passenger.
Yeah.
It involved, like, a radical on its roof.
Oh, wow.
And everyone walked away. They were all fine, but he did get thrown around like a stone in a can.
But now, this is where I am on this one, because we just spoke about this in testing. I think, personally, he wasn't fit enough. And I think he knew it. And I think he got into that car. He probably thought he was fit enough. He probably thought, I've done the work. I'll see what I can do. Do you know what I mean? You know, I feel good. I feel fresh. I feel like I can go into it, you know, with a fresh head. I can get on with my, you know, my job. And I think, personally, the guy wasn't fit enough. This is what we spoke about in the testing story. I think, personally, this guy wasn't ready for qualifying, should I say. What do you think about that?
I'm not entirely sure, to be fair, when it comes down to being fully fit. Mm. Because he did take a knock. We know what F1's like with the doctors. They've even got a slight inkling that you're not well enough to race. You're not racing. But was it down to a fact of... Sauber are a cash-strapped team.
Yeah.
Was it Giovinazzi bringing more money?
Really? Do you think it's...
Could have been. How can you do P1, do P2, then all of a sudden you make a decision as a driver, a racing driver.
Yeah.
You're programmed not to lose and not to give up.
Yeah.
You decide not to race.
Oh, it's a big conspiracy theory, though.
How many people watch F1 and go, do you know what, I'd love to get in that car? Knowing that if I got an F1 car now and I'd done a corner at 150 mile an hour, my neck would probably fall off my head.
I'd probably snap off.
And, yeah. But as a race, I just don't, it doesn't compute with me. As a racing driver, you're wired to not give up and to not give in, and pain's just part of it.
Yeah.
Why would you give up?
I don't know. I still think it's the whole training
Bottas.
Element.
He raced last year with Williams with a bad back. Raikkonen had done the same previous years. He had a bad back, but he still raced.
Yeah.
Vitaly Petrov, when he got half of his arm cut off in a rally crash.
Yeah.
If it weren't the fact that his arm was hanging on by a limb, he probably was still would have got back in the car. Because he's a race driver. He's programmed to compete.
Yeah, and also just, adrenaline and everything
with
like
me,
that.
With me, it just there's something about it that don't sit right with me. But eventually it'll come out and...
Yeah, it'll come out.
If it is
wash.
For a fact that he actually sits there and goes, no, actually, I didn't feel that I could race my ability and it affected the team's performance, fair play, because that's a big thing to say.
Well, we've got enough time between, you know, what's happened and all the way up to China, you know, to find out exactly what's happened.
Something will come.
I mean, there's two different things. I've gone with the whole, I think he thought he was fit enough and he wasn't. And then he's come out and he said, look, you know, I don't feel right. You know, I need to work a bit harder. You've gone along the lines of this conspiracy theory, which, to be quite fair, both elements tally up either way, because it'll either be him or it'll be something else.
Yeah.
And that's naturally the way it's going to happen. I mean, talking about, you know, we had also Ricardo, you know.
Oh, that broke my heart.
Oh, that absolutely. I think
anyone who watched Formula One, even if you're not a Ricardo fan, you'd feel bad for him. Everyone loves Ricardo.
You know, turn 14, coming into it, you know, he just pushed that little bit too hard, lost it, rear went straight into them tyres, and you just knew as soon as you see that.
Yeah, as soon as you saw the back step round. But what shocked me was the way it skipped over the gravel.
What do you think? Like what?
The gravel trap did not do what it was meant to do. The gravel trap's meant to grab hold of the car and pull it in to get as much energy out of the car as possible before it hits the barrier.
Yeah,
that thing just skipped. But you couldn't skim a stone better.
But is this the kind of thing we're going to see? Are we going to have to see?
Oh, you're
going to
see
cars...
a lot more.
Yeah,
because it happened to Julian Palmer in practice.
Yeah,
he came to the last corner, and as soon as they're on the point of adhesion, they will give up, and the back will overtake the front.
Mm.
I think you're going to see it a lot more, especially on high speed circuits.
They're going to have to pull something out,
possibly even on street circuits when the front tires are getting the front brakes are getting a bit hot.
Yeah,
and they need to start shifting the brake bias to the rear. I think you might start seeing it a lot because they've got all that grip. You're trying to exploit all that grip all the time, and then that one moment that you just push it that little bit too far, these cars are not going to be forgiven for that.
I mean, after that, I mean, obviously they've got to up the safety. I mean, if the cars are going to start doing things like that, they're going to have to start upping the safety features around the track. For me, I think, you know, like you said, if these safety measures are supposed to take the car, you know, the energy out of the cars, which they are, and they're not, you know, come on FIA, you're gonna have to.
There's always been this discussion. Is, for example, at the end of the back straight at Monza, before you get to the home straight, you got the I can't remember what corner it is. It's really gonna eat at me now. And there used to be tarmac at the end, so if the car spun, it's more likely that it can. If it avoided the wall, then they can rejoin the track. But then there was the conversation that if the car's carrying too much and the driver's completely out of control, it's going to hit the barrier at maximum speed.
Yeah.
We'll put a gravel trap to see if it gets hold of it. But with a gravel trap, because the drivers haven't got an escape route, they tend to hold back a bit because they don't want to be the person that puts it in the gravel. And if the car gets in the gravel, generally it's going to get set.
Yeah.
But the way that car skimmed...
Yeah.
If he'd have lost the rear in Monza, that would have kept going for some distance and then hit a wall.
Oh. Just crazy, ain't it, when you think about the physics and how extra stuff could have happened, you know, in that crash.
It could have been
a lot
worse. But
to be quite
fair... That's probably the best part of a fifth gear corner.
I mean, he did push a bit too hard, and bless him. He just wanted to get the right stuff for the crowd. And to be quite fair, if he'd probably taken that corner and gone through and that, then he would have ended up in
He would have ended up in Q3. And I don't think they've experienced problems they had further on into the race. But once again,
I mean, that brought the red flags out. There was 8 minutes left to go of Q3. And he ended up 10th on the grid. So, to be quite fair, that was pretty sad for him.
Oh, you can tell he wanted to move talking. The helmet didn't come off or anything.
Well, you know, you can soon tell, can't you? The helmet doesn't come off. It goes straight to the pit lane, straight to the team. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
You know, selection where it is, and then straight in there. But Max Verstappen, he had to go into it, you know what I mean? And
I felt bad for Max because his lap was...
super.
Well, it was going well, the lap. It weren't going to be, like, P1 material.
Oh, it weren't, but it was
but
going very
Bull,
well.
Superb considering
well,
where
so.
They were, it was going well, and red flag, straight away, immediate stop. So he basically
I mean, he
scrubbed up a set of brand new tyres for no reason.
And I mean, he got fifth ahead of, you know, Romain Grosjean, to be quite fair, who was sixth for Haas. You know, Felipe Massa then took seventh, followed by Toro Rosso's Carlos Sainz and Daniel Kvyat. Am I saying that right? Kvyat.
Kvyat.
But yeah, Q1 saw Hamilton fastest with a 1:24.191. Very, you know, precise here on the pit lane. You know, from, you know, Raikkonen on a 1:24.352, should we say. And Verstappen on a 1:24.482.
Yes. So, that's for Q1.
That's Q1.
If you go
and then
to Q3, the lap times do come down.
And to be quite fair, they were all on ultra soft tyres. You know, ahead of Bottas, you know, Hulkenberg, you know, Perez, Massa, you know, they were all super, they were all on super soft shod, what they're called now. But yeah, I mean, to be quite fair, that was Q1. Have you got anything to add into that Q1 section?
No, I think
it was
Q1.
Pretty
safe for Q1. The start for Q1 for me was Giovinazzi.
Yeah, very much so. Star
he got
of
in the car. I watched an interview after. He got the call very late.
Oh yeah,
like last minute before P3. He got in the car. Okay, yeah, he may have had a few spells here and there in testing where, in practice where a driver stepped out to let him step in. But, by far, he outdone Magnussen, Van Dorn, Stroll, who, by the way, is your rookie.
Yeah.
He got done by Sauber, and Van Dorn, just put that in there as well.
Yeah.
And, obviously, the big loser, right, is Julian Palmer.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, Bottas in Q2 went, you know, in with a 1:23, you know, same as Hamilton, but I think, you know, there was only tenths of a second between them. You know, Raikkonen and Vettel were on 1:23s as well, but we're talking, it's so tight between that McLaren and that Ferrari in qualifying that I think that's what's going to happen for most of the season now. To
McLaren
be honest
and Ferrari,
with you.
Mercedes and Ferrari.
Yeah, that's it. Mercedes and McLaren. I bet they wish I said that. To be quite fair, I bet they're happy I said that.
Well, looking at the qualifying times, for me, in qualifying, Mercedes is still the one to beat. Obviously, Australia is different.
Yeah.
It's still technically a street circuit. So, with the white lines and everything, and the way that it could be that the track's made out of a different material to most other tracks across the world. But, like, Hamilton is still pretty much 3/10 faster than Vettel. Vettel did claim, though, that he made a mistake on 2 corners.
But to be quite fair, when you do watch that...
I'm not buying into that.
No.
Because if you're a world champion, you make a mistake on your quali, you bail out of the lap.
Exactly.
But I don't know if that was at the end of Q3 where he had to get the lap in or whatnot. Bottas was very close. He was only, less than 30 milliseconds.
It was, yeah, because it would have been literally fast. A straight... Mercedes 1-2.
Then there's a big gap over half a second back to Raikkonen, and then another 4.5 tenths back to Verstappen, which worries me.
Why is that?
Red Bull is 1.2 seconds off quali pace to Mercedes. 1.2 seconds.
Yeah.
At one point last year, it was, oh God, Red Bull, I hope this engine can hold out.
Hmm.
But that is what it is. And then, obviously, with Daniel Ricciardo's spin, that was a bit of a gut turner for us all.
Yeah, I mean, and then you got.
But then.
Jolly and Palmer's, do you know what I mean? Weekend.
Then you could say
quali.
As well, looking at quali, Fernando Alonso done a good job.
Oh, Alonso did do a good job. And I
12th in a car that shouldn't be there.
So if he's 12th in a car that shouldn't be there, so what would he be like if he was in, say, a Mercedes or a Ferrari or even a Red Bull?
Do you know what? I reckon if you had Rosberg and Hamilton last year.
Yeah.
With Hamilton's reliability issues, Alonso would be world champion now.
And like I was going to say, you know, Julian Palmer's, you know, Renault, I mean, he finished 20th, qualified 20th, 1:28. 1:28. And we're sitting, they're sitting there, and Hamilton's sitting on 1:22.
But there is performance in the car. Hulkenberg qualified 11th.
Look at it. I mean, but it's just.
So there's performance in that Renault. It's just.
They've
Palmer is a driver that when he's got a bit of an attitude and he's got a bit of a shot and nothing's going his way,
yep.
he tends to get the arm and he lets it get to him too much.
And then he kind of
He gets tense in the car. But the weirdest thing for me is, which a lot of people noticed, was Lance Stroll's driving style.
Yeah.
The steering wheel. I don't know if anyone's watched it yet. Go back, watch qualifying.
Yeah.
Watch the race. Just watch. Lance Stroll's got the opportunity to be so much faster in that Williams, but he jerks the steering wheel a lot. It's not smooth like Massa or Alonso. It's not smooth like...
Too hectic.
It is, that's it. It's like too hectic. Too busy.
Yeah.
He's not, like...
He's trying to do more for the car than what the car...
Instead of bringing the car into the corner, he's snapping it into a corner. And the only thing he's going to do there is, as he's turning the steering wheel suddenly, the tyres are like, whoa, what's going on? And he's more likely going to get understeer, because was going deep into corners.
But you see, Hamilton was having understeer, he was saying, wasn't he? You know,
he was claiming the race.
He was claiming. We'll talk about it in the race in a minute.
During quali, he claimed he had a little bit of understeer. Yeah. But into the race, he had oversteer, but that was for some other reason that he was claiming. We'll get into that in a minute.
We'll get to that.
So, the grid, as everyone knows, was Hamilton, Vettel, Bottas, Raikkonen, Verstappen, Grosjean, Massa, Sainz, Kvyat. Good performance from Toro Rosso, considering they've got a year-old engine.
Stunning.
Still the best-looking car. Force India, don't like the pink. Hülkenberg, Alonso, Ocon, Ericsson, Ricciardo, with all the penalties and everything added, 15th. It's heartbreaking. Giovinazzi, start for me in qualifying, 16th. Magnussen, 17th. Van Dorn, 18th. Renault, 19th. And who's that down in 20th? Oh, it's Lance Stroll.
Lance Stroll. Yeah, but just watch Lance, yeah? He's going to be hot. Massa, listen to me. Get him in that crew room, have a chat, have a coffee, maybe another shot of tequila, all right? Have a chat, and let's get it on, all right? We'll get up that field, don't you worry. But yeah, so, I mean, that's the story of qualifying, Steve. I'm quite happy with that. Are you happy with that?
I'm happy with that.
Absolutely brilliant. I enjoyed qualifying. I thought it was very good. We see a little bit. It was all, for me, all the build-up to the last session.
Yeah, the thing is, I'll say that everything's still going to be not turned up to max.
No, they ain't. But it was nice to see them push a bit.
Oh, it was nice to see them push a bit, because you're seeing errors being made. For example, Ricciardo being the biggest loser.
Exactly.
But, yeah, I reckon with these cars, in qualifying, when they're pushing to those limits, you're going to start seeing some mistakes. It'll prove that these drivers are human.
Exactly. And that's what I'm going to like to see. I mean, we're going to end it there. I mean, that was our story of qualifying. Thank you very much for listening to that. We're now going to go on to the main race day. Formula One's Australian Grand Prix. Let's get on to the race. I mean,
well, not a lot really happened.
Nothing really happened. It was the standard talking point.
So we'll go to the starting grid, because obviously, well, we just went through that with the qualifying.
Yeah.
For the starting grid, biggest car out of place.
Yeah.
On that grid was Ricciardo.
Right.
So he was in to set the fans up for a big show.
Yeah, exactly.
He might not have been the fastest car, but with the cars around him, he could push. And then we could see, potentially, if these cars can overtake.
Exactly.
But that was spoiled by a gearbox issue.
Oh, I know. And I feel terrible for him.
So, the first one, it got stuck in sixth gear, I think Red Bull said.
But I just...
Which is just like, oh, God. And then they got it back to the pits, and he was sitting in the car. Then he was out of the car. Then he was in the car. And then, before he even got away, we had an aborted start.
Which... Oh. That was a weird one. I mean,
see, I thought that was all
because someone went into, you know, Ricciardo's slot, basically.
Yeah, that's what, looking at it, initially that's what I thought. But then Charlie Whiting came out after the race and said that one of the marshals had pushed an uncertainty button on their post.
Okay.
Straight away, following the procedures that's been put in place by the FIA, he had to follow and abort the start. Okay, yeah, we lost a lap of the race, because as soon as they abort start or start on a safety car, the race technically starts.
Yeah.
But, yeah, luckily the drivers sorted themselves out and everything got done.
And so then we had a good start.
We had a good start. I'm happy that Mercedes got away as good as the Ferraris. I honestly thought Vettel was going to be into the first corner ahead of Hamilton, and Raikkonen was going to be alongside Hamilton with Bottas being overtaken by Verstappen.
Exactly, yeah.
I thought Bottas could have pushed a bit harder on Vettel.
I did as well, and I was kind of a bit upset because I thought to myself, Hamilton's had a good start, he's got off of that line, and as they got to that first corner, I was like, go, go, go. I was willing Bottas to literally keep that pressure.
Bottas did do the right thing because he was being squeezed off the track.
Yeah.
If he had kept side by side with Vettel and not lifted off a little bit, he would have had a front left tyre on the grass, on the brakes, the wheel would have locked up, he would have distanced further, and he would have missed the corner, he would have been further back. So he did make the right choice.
Yeah.
But.
Oh, but don't you wish he just kind of.
He shouldn't have let Vettel squeeze him out.
I mean, that's probably like a learning curve for him. That's going to be like a major learning curve.
Well, here's the thing, Williams have ever in that sort of position was in Austria last year, or the year before, when they qualified on the front row. And also in Silverstone, when they were fighting the Mercedes. Like, I don't know if anyone remembers last year at Silverstone, but the start they got over the Mercedes boys was...
Oh, it was tremendous. But that's why I liked what I saw. You know, they kind of got the start right this time.
Yeah, they got the start right. But as we go through...
Yeah.
The little niggly bit's going to start to cause problems. I hope Mercedes stay on top of it, because if not, we can have some really good races spoiled.
I don't want them to get complacent with it. I want them to be like, right, we had one good start. Let's build on this. Let's start working on our start. Let's continue the good work we've done on our.
Yeah, because historically Mercedes starts are poor.
Oh, absolutely poor. I mean, one little factoid here. You know, Michael Schumacher's record lap for Melbourne, 1 minute, 24 seconds and 125, you know, whatever seconds they are in 2004, remained intact despite, you know, pre-race predictions that it might fall. The outright fastest lap around Albert Park did fall this weekend, however, courtesy of Lewis Hamilton's pole lap.
Oh, the pole lap, yeah, but the race lap's always different from pole.
Very.
On
very.
Pole, the batteries, before the lap starts, the batteries are charged, the turbo's turned up, the motor's turned up. It's just all out horsepower.
I mean...
Whereas during the race, it shouldn't be. It should be a sprint to the end.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's a marathon.
Oh, it is. And it is, you know, Australia is a pretty...
Which we'll get onto a bit of that, because I'm quite happy with a few of the things we saw.
Yeah.
At Melbourne.
I mean, so we get up to that first corner, everything's going fine. We start trudging around, we do a few laps, and we kind of see Hamilton building up this lead. We're kind of happy, we're kind of thinking, right, this is going to be kind of a procession kind of race. We're going to see it just naturally progress. You know, midfield's all battling away. We're liking seeing that action. And then, obviously, there's going to be little niggle points. Now, we're going to go with your first one.
Well, before we get on to that, the thing that I found best to watch was the fact that Vettel was able to stay with Lewis.
And to be quite
fair, there was no, Sebastian, you need to back off. The tyres are overheating. The engine's overheating. We've got this problem. We've got that problem. At one point, he stayed a second or under to Lewis for the best part of five laps.
Exactly. And to be quite
fair, last year, they couldn't have stayed that close because the surface of the tyres were overheated.
Exactly.
Blistering.
That's what I was gonna say,
because there's not that much surface area.
Yeah.
This little bit of extra we've got on the tyres is giving the temperature range a lot further to go. And because the temperature's not locked into a small space, it's got more room to spread.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is going to become a real... That, the tyres are the best thing so far I've seen.
Oh, the tyres...
If we had those tyres on last year's car, it'd be better.
Pirelli have pulled it out
the bag. Oh, yeah, they've done a good job.
They have pulled it out of the bag, and that's what I loved about it. And I love the fact that Vettel was let to race. And like you said, there wasn't no problem on this. Or he wasn't radioing going, this feels bad, this... He was allowed to race, and he was allowed to give 110% of himself as well as the car into that race. And like you said, he stayed behind Hamilton, and it was nice to see when they were coming down onto the straights.
Just to see two cars in one picture.
Yeah, to see two cars, and you think to yourself, whoa, hang on a minute, I'm going to have to sit here. You know what I mean? Maybe a cup of tea, quick. I can't leave the room.
Oh, no, that time in the morning, I wouldn't have got
a cup of tea. But it's just one of them things. Like, it was nice to see. I enjoyed every minute of that race, to be quite fair.
Oh, it was good.
When you see stuff like that, and like I said, it was just refreshing to hear Vettel not moan. The Ferrari guys.
Yeah, God.
The Ferrari guys not to moan or say there's a problem
or tell Charlie to fuck off.
Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, it was lovely to see, and that's what. And Pirelli, like we said, pulled it out of the bag. They've done a good job.
Oh, Pirelli have done a good job. When we get to the harder wearing tracks,
yeah,
then it'll be a test.
Oh, exactly.
For example, China is historically hard on tyres.
Oh, to be quite fair, it's going to be with the humidity.
The only thing I've always wondered is, though,
go on.
We'll get into it afterwards, but the basis is, why do we take an ultra soft, a super soft, and a soft? Why can't we take an ultra soft, a soft, and a medium?
Because I think they like the gauge. I think they like to. It
would make racing and strategy more rewarding if you had bigger gaps in tyres.
It would do, but then that's like boxing with the weights.
Yeah, true. I can't get where you're going.
I like. You can either go, you know, lightweight, nice and fast boxing, nice and, you know, you have to pick your punches, you know, middleweight. You know, they're fast, but, you know, they're going to start picking everything.
Yeah.
They're going to do much more, you know, precise punching, heavyweight. You know, not much prancing and dancing, and they're going to go.
Yeah, just
so that's what, I want to see. You know, you've got your longevity.
Well,
you've got your middlejevity, and then you've got your kind of, you know, this is where we're going to go. This is our light, super soft, you know, like you said, ultra, super, you know, and soft. And if they can get the right balance in between them three, then you're going to see teams go chop, change. And if it works for that car, then I'm going to love to see what kind of team is going to choose what tyre goes with their car. Because if a Mercedes are loving, say, a super soft, or, you know, and then you go Ferrari going, we like, you know, just an ultra super soft, then so be it. And if it's going to make for good racing, then I think it's going to happily go really nice if they keep that many selections in there.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully we don't see many wet tyres come out, but... You know,
well, the wet tyres, can you imagine the size of them things?
Wow.
They're gonna be huge. The cars are going to sit a lot higher.
Oh, exactly.
But going back onto it, so the race wasn't exactly a spectacle of overtaking, as I think there was only one...
Procession lap, like, it's procession kind of race.
I think there was only one real overtake during the race, and that was Ocon.
Yeah.
On the Alonso, because the rest of them were all done in the pit lane.
Yeah.
But we did say that on the previous podcast, that you can't judge it by Australia.
Australia is historically
a hard overtaking circuit, because at the end of the day, it is a street circuit.
And I mean,
we're going
to
China next.
Exactly.
The track's a lot wider in areas. You've got that long pitch straight, and the amount of drag these cars produce, the slipstream is going to be very powerful, and the DRS is going to add to that. So you're going to get a lot of overtaking into that hairpin. But artificial overtaking and whatnot, but it makes a good spectacle.
It does.
And that's what we want to see. We want to see drivers coming onto the home straight side by side. The fans that are there going, oh, I paid my ticket for this.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm glad I'm seeing two cars side by side going into a fast sweeping right-hander. And that corner is going to be brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
Watching, normally it'd be come up to a corner, drop it a gear, drop it again. I think you're going to go into it with the drivers. They'll still have that foot flat, partial way into the corner, and then come off it, then put the anchors on. And the cars are going to squirm. That's where you're going to see the most mistakes in China.
Oh, I mean, talking about Ocon, I mean, he picked up his first Formula One point, you know, it's his 10th race, you know, Force India driver. It's the 36th Frenchman to tally, you know, in a Grand Prix race. So I think that's kind of good for him. You know, he picked up his first point. That was brilliant.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's good in a sense. You know, what we saw, it was good, and the race as it progressed was good. But then we're going to get on to obviously the Vettel and kind of Hamilton kind of situation.
So that purely was Mercedes called the strategy wrong.
Is that what you're saying?
When Hamilton needs to push to get the gap on Vettel, he did it. He got that gap. But then everyone was saying about, because these tyres are so big and taking so long to warm up, that the undercut's not the threat anymore. It's the overcut.
Yeah.
It's the staying out that lap or two longer, punishing what's remaining in those tyres, which we saw. These tyres can take a beating. The fastest lap was set on the last lap on 20-lap-old tyres. So it is going to be interesting. But these tyres can take a beating. So the overcut is the one to watch. So you need to make sure that you've got 3 seconds in the bag.
Yeah.
Do a perfect pit stop.
Yeah.
Get on it straight after the race.
Yes, exactly.
Just get on it and force the heat into those tyres. If you're going to lose half a second down the back straight, flat out weaving a little bit left and right, they're going to do it to build up that energy. But, yeah.
I mean,
for me, that pit stop, I think it was lap 17 for Hamilton.
Yeah.
He said the original strategy was to pit lap 19.
Yeah.
But what got me was the team should have seen the fact that Verstappen was still on track. He hadn't appeared.
Yes.
And he would have come out. Lewis would have come out behind him.
Yep.
And now you got to look at it. Hamilton was stuck behind Verstappen for 3-4 laps.
Right.
He lost a second a lap, roughly, stuck behind Verstappen on the fresh tyres while he was on the fresh tyres.
Yeah.
When Vettel came out of the pits, the three of them were neck and neck.
Exactly.
And Verstappen, give him his due, actually made a move, tried to make a move on Vettel, but it didn't work out. If he hadn't got stuck behind him, Hamilton would have won.
Yeah.
So it would have still been Mercedes dominated, but Ferrari split the Mercedes.
Exactly. And that's what you would have wanted, really. Well, to me, that's what I would have wanted. But to be quite fair, I mean, Hamilton did say after as well in one of the interviews that he knows now how to manage his tyres. So
it's still a learning curve for these tyres. Because as much as in testing, they would have been trying to put in fast laps. But I'm pretty sure at Barcelona, those lap times could have come down a lot more if they'd have turned the donkeys up.
I mean, Sebastian Vettel's secured Ferrari's first win in a season-opening race since Fernando Alonso won on his debut for Ferrari in Bahrain in 2010. You'd have to go back even further for Ferrari's last win in Australia, 2007, when another debutant, Kimi Raikkonen, triumphed there. So that's a good, I think, bit of a stat for Ferrari fans. It was Vettel's 43rd career victory, his fourth for Ferrari, and his, you know, first kind of Ferrari win since 2015 in Singapore, 28 races ago.
Oh, that's painful.
Painful, painful.
You can understand why he's getting frustrated, because he left Ferrari to carry on being a champion.
Exactly, exactly, and it's not happening.
He fell out of love with Red Bull, but it weren't happening. Ferrari didn't catch up quick enough.
I mean, it's the only time it's happened in his career. You know, Vettel has won in the opening round of the season. The other time was in 2011 when he led the championship from start to finish. So
yeah, but that was because nobody else that season could fight. That's like what everyone was complaining about back then with Red Bull. And now everyone complained about it with Mercedes. And now we've changed and things are mixing up a little bit. But Mercedes still are the ones to beat.
And this is another good one. Ferrari are now the lead in the championship for the first time since Japan 2012, 1,628 days in total. That is crazy, ain't it? When you think about it, for what a force they were to what they are now. Hamilton did add another 105th podium finish to his racing CV. You know, and he's only one now. Behind Alan Prost for second on the all-time list. Michael Schumacher holds the record with an astonishing 155, which Hamilton can still reach. He's still a young lad. He can still get there.
I don't know if anyone ever saw this, but if you saw the Twitter feed, it was between Hamilton and Vettel. They've got like 96 wins and 7 world championships. Wow. But what made me laugh is someone left a comment on it saying, so one Hamilton plus one Vettel equals one Schumacher. So we should think about it, actually. These two have got a long way to go before they're considered to be along the greats of shoeing.
But to be quite fair, I mean, them couple of stats that were just thrown out, absolutely brilliant. I mean, if this is the way the races are going to turn out, you know, with the upgrades that are going to come out and teams are going to be pushing to do more. The token system now gone.
I'll be surprised if you see any dramatic improvements visually in China.
Yeah,
you won't see any in the race after I'm pretty sure it's Bahrain. It'll be that little gap.
Yeah.
2 weeks at the end of April between the middle, the 16th and the 30th, where you'll see the teams putting those little bits on the cars, trying to make them a bit faster, testing new front wings, testing new rear wings, the fuses, the T-wing. They've got to start trying to maximise them. While that loophole still exists in the regulations, they need to exploit T-wings.
Oh, exactly. T-wings all day long. We'll talk about them a bit more probably in another podcast, because we're not running really tight on time, but we've got thoughts and stuff like that still to come on coming up to China.
We'll just go over the race, the finish race results.
Let's just go over them.
Vettel won, 9.9 seconds behind was Hamilton, 11 seconds behind then Bottas, then another 22 seconds Raikkonen, 28 seconds was Verstappen. Then you had Massa 83 seconds behind. So 30 seconds covers the top five.
Yep.
After an hour and 24 minutes.
Yep.
And you've got another 50 plus seconds to sixth. Everyone from seventh down was lapped. Yeah. That's worrying. Seventh down was lapped. That's not great.
I mean, midfield, it was pretty straightforward for midfield, weren't it? I mean, we had the Vettel Hamilton thing. We had the, you know, Ricciardo, you know, situation. But like I said, it was a procession kind of race. Everything was kind of okay. We had had one overtake, which was
when Ricciardo
nice.
Came out after lap two, it turned into a testing session for them.
It did.
And there was a very short-lived testing session.
Oh, it very was. And it was upsetting. I feel sorry for him. But, you know, it was tight in that midfield. And it's going
to
be tight in that midfield.
Because
cars are starting.
Well, overtaking, it'll be more interesting. But like I said in the previous podcast, don't judge it by Australia. Historically, it's not an easy track to overtake on. No matter what cars you put people in, it's just... And the cars being wider, the drivers are still getting used to the size of the cars.
They are. And to be quite fair, they're getting used to the tyres. Hamilton said that he kind of thinks he knows that what he needs to do to, you know, get the tyres in check, to get the car in check, to get everything in check. So when he comes to China, you know, he's going to be physically ready to go, get that car out there, get everything dialed in, and then win that race. You know, get pole, you know, and then... win the race.
Going back to it, we'll cover the top 10 again. So you've got Vettel, Hamilton, Bottas, Raikkonen, Verstappen, Massa, Perez, Sainz, Kvyat, Ocon. So two shocks for me there out of all of them would be the Toro Rosso.
Yeah.
But then going for it, driver of the day, Giovinazzi.
Definitely. So are we actually saying that on this podcast? We're going to do a driver of the day, yeah?
Driver of the day for me was Giovinazzi. He didn't have long in that car and 12th. Okay. Granted, a lot of it was DNFs.
Yeah.
We saw, obviously, we saw Grosjean out, Palmer out, Ericsson out, Ricciardo heartbreaking out, Magnussen out, and Alonso in the end.
Just give up the ghost.
I think he was the only person who complained about fuel saving in that race as well.
I think as well, to be quite fair, I don't think he's going to finish this season as a McLaren driver.
If they don't sort or even make a big step forward.
Yeah.
By, well, I'll throw it out as a Silverstone, say midway point.
Wow. Right.
I wouldn't be surprised if he calls that clause in his contract where he could take a year out.
Well, you've heard it here first on the pit lane. Well, we kind of both feel the same that, you know, if it doesn't go right for McLaren, Alonso will just do the off and then it will be a nice reserve driver getting that lucky chance to be in that hot seat. Do you reckon you could be up for that, Steve?
Oh, I'll tell you what, if McLaren are willing to pay me $6 million a race, I'd do it.
I wouldn't. Just give me a tenner a race. I'll get the sponsorships after.
I'll tell you what, cover my rent. I'll be happy with that.
That's it. But, I mean, that was us. I mean, we've given you the rundown of that race. We've given you what we think. Obviously, there's other bits and bobs which can go on. I've got a final kind of thought. It says here, I've got down in front of me that I've written down, since 2000, 11 of the 17 round one winners have gone on to win the title. Will Sebastian Vettel join the 11, or will he be the unlucky?
I think he'll be the unlucky.
You reckon?
I've really got... They got lucky.
I think they did. I personally think so.
Poor strategy call.
Yeah.
Either Mercedes thought they were going to force Red Bull's hand and pit. They didn't account for him to do like another 8 laps on those tyres. Considering how much Lewis was saying about... Oh, this car's undrivable, the oversteer. But he was complaining about the floor, so he must have done some damage to the floor on a curb somewhere that the cameras didn't pick up.
Yeah.
But after he realised he lost the race, to me, that 9.9 second gap was him turning down the motor, bringing it home and coasting it home. Because 4 engines, 20 races.
Yep.
That's 5 races an engine. A Grand Prix track is meant to be 300 kilometres. It's meant to be 300 kilometre race or thereabouts. So that is, what, 1,500 kilometres of race. That engine's got to do. Plus, don't forget that engine's got to do quali. Then that engine's got to do practice one, practice two, practice three. So
they're going to have to look after these engines.
They look after is an understatement. We're going to see a real test of reliability.
Babium.
The cars with the downforce extra... They're going to be full power a lot more often. I think in Australia, they were 10 to 11% more full throttle than last year. 10 to 11%, so that's more fuel used. The only thing I worry is The reason we didn't see so much fuel saving was because of the aborted lap, I think. Soon as you go to full length races, to juicy tracks that drink the fuel, require the amount of fuel, I think you're going to see a lot of fuel saving, which is going to kill the race. My perfect formula now, looking at it, I'm not a fan of hybrids because it's too much. Oh, we've got to look after this component. All the turbo's gone. All the everything's getting. It's too complicated. It's too expensive. Yep. It ran Manor out because they just didn't have the money to buy the engines anymore.
Yep.
For me, it would be get rid of the hybrid packs.
Yep.
Go to smaller V8s that make the noise, turbocharge them. That's it. Don't go to all this, we've got to prove we can save the environment and, I don't know, add these battery packs in that weigh stupid amounts of kilos.
Do you think it's just the FIA or Formula One going, we've got to be shown to be doing something?
They've got to be shown to be eco-friendly. But for me, the perfect formula would be a little bit more downforce.
Yeah.
Alter the tracks. Yeah. Get wider tracks where there are different lines into corners that drivers can take. Because at the moment, it's one line does all. Unless you're Max Verstappen and you make a lineup. But I would say bring back the V8s. Go smaller V8s, turbocharge them.
Yeah.
Look, the new C63 AMG, historically, they were 3.6 litre V8 engines. Now they're 4 litre twin turbo V8s.
Yeah.
Why can't we go to that? Why can't we go double the turbos? So have two turbos with smaller V8s. And instead of having it so you use. So this weekend, the tyre allocation is ultra softs, super softs, and softs.
Yeah.
Let the teams choose what tyres they want to take.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see teams select their own tyres.
I don't know. For example, this weekend, we had the ultra softs, we had the super softs.
Yeah.
We had softs.
Yeah.
Why don't you give the teams a chance to throw in a medium there?
Mm-hmm.
Go for a complete screaming. Turn the engine up to max, scream out the first stint, kill those tyres, get as close as you can to the guy in front, go for that overtake, and then go on to the mediums, and you know you'll go to the end of the race.
Sounds like a strategy for what would be, you know, a good Formula One race, should I say. I mean, you just got to watch this space. I mean, Formula One are throwing up so many different rules this season and changing, chopping and changing. Let's just see what next season brings. I mean, for now, being the race that we've watched, we're going to give a summary. So we're saying that, you know, Ferrari really, you know, they weren't.
Ferrari are on it. They're so close to Mercedes, but they're not quite there yet.
No, they're not. And to be quite fair, tyre issues, I think, with Mercedes.
They need to sort them out.
Middle of the pack was kind of straightforward. You know, we kind of had good.
Expected everyone where they were going to be.
Exactly.
We expected DNS. We expected the unreliability.
Exactly, and but like we said, this was always going to be that kind of first race to be a development race and kind of be...
Yeah, the first few are going to be procession. Testing sessions. They're going to review the data a lot harder than they would after a race, say, in Japan or Brazil later in the year.
I mean, talking about some fun stuff from race day, you know, Jenson Button on Instagram put up, do you guys know if there's anything good to watch on telly this weekend? Laying on the sofa with his dog with his helmet on. That was really quite good. Loads of stuff on social media. You know, they had Brooke Hogan in the Ferrari garage, Nicole Kidman in the, you know, Ferrari garage. You know, nice koala up in the tree. Someone's put one up there, you know, in
a
Ferrari.
I don't know if anyone else noticed this weekend, or the weekend just gone, sorry. The social media was there a lot more. For example, Hamilton was on Facebook and he was giving everyone a tour of the Mercedes garage.
But that's what that's
motorhomes
what
and but that's the things like there was an interview with Christian Horner and they said that Liberty Media told him you have to have an Instagram account.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to do these things. Sponsors are going to love that.
They're going to absolutely lap it
up. They're going to drink it up, which then will start bringing in more money. And then if Liberty Media, after this deal runs out in 2020 or wherever it is, they can start to jig the money about for the championship. So it's like, okay, first, second, and third. I know you get a massive slice of the pie. We're just going to take, say, 15, 20 mil of each year, and then we're going to throw it to the smaller guys.
Exactly. The sponsorship is going to love it. One last thing from Force India's Twitter account. Basically, Deputy Team Principal Rob Fernley, you know, gets extra points for having his colour-coordinated trousers, and they were very, very bright pink.
Oh, so, I hate pink.
hats off to him for having their bright pink trousers on with his nice bright pink car. That was race day, guys. I hope you enjoyed it. We're going to now get on to our thoughts and feelings on China coming up, and we will be putting a podcast out about that. Obviously, we don't know when it will go out. This one's hopefully, you know, out to you guys. You're going to hear it. I mean, it's going to be 3 days after the race day, but we thought we would like to watch the race, digest it, and see how we got on, you know, being our first kind of race day.
Yeah.
Thing. I mean, there's room for improvement, room for reshuffle. So, I mean, thoughts and feelings on China. I mean, I think Hamilton's literally in China at the moment. I think he's literally just his head's there, shall I say. He knows what he needs to do to keep away from them Ferraris, to keep his car going, to keep them tyres nice, the way he wants the car to be.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping when we get to China and we see maybe, you know, P1, you know, practice 2, going on to, you know, whatever else, and then qualifiers. And I'm hoping we get to see a nice tuned in Lewis Hamilton in that Silver Arrow.
I think Mercedes have got a lot more racing heritage there.
Oh, exactly. They have.
So I think some of the mechanics they've got, they've been at the team a long time. They know how it all works. They know what goes on over a race weekend.
Yep.
And Vettel, if anyone remembers in his Red Bull days, he was the first one out of the track and he was the last one to leave the track out of drivers. He was always looking through data, always asking the engineers, can I push the tyre a little bit harder there? Lewis is more about the feel he gets, I think, when he drives.
Yeah.
Whereas Vettel, he reminds me so much of Alan Prost. He is the professor.
Yeah.
Anything that he can digest and take in the form of digits and numbers, he will.
Typical German. Efficient.
Yeah.
But to be quite fair, I mean, Ferrari for me as well, you know, I mean, Bottas, just carry on what you're doing, my man. I mean,
it'll come to him. He's still putting race. He's still got to get his feet in there because it is a new team. It is daunting. And imagine the expectations that he's got to deal with at the moment.
And it's a nice little paddle in that brand new Silver Arrows. I bet he got into that car thinking, oh my, yes, I love it. I love it. But carry on what you're doing. I think that's absolutely amazing what he's doing. And then he should just keep backing up Lewis. And then if he can overtake Lewis and he can get a bit more points himself, then so be
it. I'll go for it. There will be a few races where he may take it to Lewis when Lewis is having a bad weekend. Because we've seen it quite a few times last year.
Ferrari, I mean, keep going the way you are. I think that's what our motto is going to be on this podcast. Keep going the way you are.
Please.
If you can keep pushing.
It's not just that. Don't just get Vettel there.
Yeah.
Get Raikkonen there as well.
Because two.
Mercedes, whatever you need to do to get Bottas there, do it. Yeah. I would much rather see 4 slow cars fighting for a world champion, championship than 2 extremely fast guys.
Yeah.
I'd rather watch something that's more entertaining rather than there's the world champion again.
Seeing the car in the background is another thing I like to see.
You don't want to be like, oh, he's at the end of a half a kilometre straight. And if you look at that little speck in the background, that's a Ferrari. You don't want to see that.
I think, I mean, you know, like I said, we're talking about our thoughts and processes about China. We know China is going to be a nice race.
Oh, it's going to be fast.
It's going to be fast, fun.
I think you may see the lap record broken. You may do it because...
You're putting that out?
Yeah, because a lot of it is high speed. So as the track goes, you go up the main straight and you've got a long banking right-hander that gets sharper and sharper. And then turns 2 and 3 follow each other straight away into like a right kink and then a U-turn. Up the hill, there's a bit of a crest down into the next corner. Then there's a long sweeping left-hander followed by a shorter sweeping right-hander on the brakes, tight hairpin. Now you're parallel with the back straight, and you've got, as you come up, left-hander, then a right into that long sweeping right, downhill, so the elevation change, so that will trouble with traction. Then you've got that long, powerful straight, which the slipstream will come into effect, and the DRS will come into effect. With a car with more drag, less top speed, but the car behind, in the tow, less wind resistance, DRS, more aerodynamic, it will make for more interesting races.
It's going to be absolutely awesome. I can't wait. I mean, middle of the pack as well. Let's talk about Williams, you know, Red Bull. Let's talk about Red Bull off the back of, obviously, Ferrari, Red Bull. Let's just hope Ricciardo gets a good, clean run up to this one. Let's hope he gets out there as well as, you know, Max Verstappen. Let's just hope they get a good run in that Red Bull this time. No problems.
Oh, I hope so.
You know, Williams, Force India, Haas.
I think you're going to see
all the mid pack is going to be the same.
Similar to what you saw in Australia.
Let's hope one or two kind of push through there. I mean, I'm hoping Williams can really push. I'm really push on Red Bull. That's my personal opinion about what I want to see this season. Okay, we've got Ferrari pushing Mercedes. Now let's see Williams pushing Red Bull. Let's see, you know, Force India
historically,
pushing on. And
I think Red Bull will pull away from Williams. I would love to see Massa be more competitive. But
give him the reins. Let's hope Williams give him the reins and they say, right, let's see what the car can do. Let's push it a bit. Let's see what happens in practice. In the practice. Well,
they need to do something about these engines. The engines at the moment are dictating everything.
Oh, they are. They're dictating pace.
If I told you you've got to take fuel to last you the month, what are you going to do?
Well, you're going to obviously take it well slow, aren't you?
I told you, I'll give you a tank a day. What are you going to do?
Well, you're going to smash it.
Exactly. Well, it's the same with the engines.
Yeah.
They need to figure out a way to make these engines. Get rid of them. They're far too expensive. They're killing the sport.
Yeah.
That is what's killing it. Look eco-friendly. Do what you want. But until they sort out this, if that's the case, bring in refueling.
Do it. I love a good refuel.
Bring back refueling. That way we've got lighter cars, faster cars, and strategy comes into it again.
Yeah.
That's either refueling or change the engines. Because at the moment, with this whole, you're limited to 105 kilos a race.
Yeah.
To me, it's killing it. It's absolutely killing it. There should be one mode on an F1 car, and that is go. That's it. Be engine map 6, strat 4 and all this. It should be maximum power or off.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I must admit, you know, if they brought back refueling and stuff like that, that would be awesome. But I can't see it happening because they've got to be shown to be doing something environmentally. But at the end of the day, I'm looking forward to China. I think China's going to be very straightforward.
It's going to be very straightforward. You'll see a lot of mistakes.
A lot of mistakes and a lot of the same kind of stuff I think we've seen in Australia. But
I just hope there's a lot less DNFs. I hope we see nearly all the grid.
Good grid finish.
I just hope nearly all the grid finish and we see some good battling. The track's wider, the track's faster. It's actually a racetrack, whereas Albert Park isn't. It's a street circuit.
I think on this podcast, we should go with kind of predictions for China. I'm going to say, what are we going to talk about qualifier-wise?
Top three, you'll see the same as you saw last week. You'll see Hamilton, Bottas, Vettel. In which order?
We don't know. But it's going to be the same.
But I think Bottas will out Vettel.
Right.
I think it'll be Hamilton, Bottas, Vettel.
And how do you reckon we're going to see them finish?
Mercedes are going to fall for the same trick.
No.
Well, their own demise, or should I say, not trick.
Yeah.
I think they'll pay more attention to the other cars on the track now.
I can see it being Hamilton, Vettel, Bottas, or maybe Hamilton, Vettel, Raikkonen.
I don't think you can rule out Bottas.
I think Raikkonen.
It did have the second fastest lap.
Raikkonen made some comments about the car. I don't know what the comments were, but I remember reading them, and I remember him being kind of derogatory, but kind of like, you know, my car's not exactly like Vettel's car at the moment. But I think they're going to have to kind of give Raikkonen that package that Vettel's got, and they're going to have to push him up to that front, because if they can push Vettel, if they can push Raikkonen past Bottas and keep Bottas slightly away to then give Vettel all of what he needs to give in that Ferrari to try and give Hamilton a run for his
money,
they're going
to
do that.
Car more.
Yeah.
To push it hard and then to back two cars to bring them up to equal.
That's going
to
be their strategy next week, I think. I think Ferrari are going to want they're either going to want a 2-3 podium, or they're going to want
They've got a taste for it now. They've got a taste for the win. So now I think that's the motivation the Ferrari need.
Yeah.
Instead of going, let's settle for second, the constructors, let's settle for third, it'll be, guys, we don't want to, why can't we do it again? Simple as that.
It is.
But theoretically, realistically, Mercedes are still better.
Oh, Mercedes are.
But the thing that's going to be the deciding factor of China, which it will be, tyre wear. That'll be the only factor. Mercedes are harder on the tyres, but they're faster, whereas the Ferrari can go longer at a more consistent pace, and the tyres will last. But China is a very hard wearing track. So I'd be interested to see what Pirelli take there. But
I mean, I'm quite happy with what I've seen in Australia. I'm happy to say that, obviously, we're going to go So we're going to say, what? Let's recap. So qualifying, we're going to go in
China. I'm
going
to go Hamilton, Bottas, Patel.
And then for the race day, we're going to go...
I'd say the same. Hamilton, Bottas. Depending on the start, yeah. Hamilton, Bottas, Patel.
Right. So you've heard it here first on the pit lane, guys. I'm afraid we're going to have to draw to a close now. We've given you our predictions. Let's go over what we spoke about. Anyway, so instead of our tech corner this week, we've gone straight with the story of testing, because we didn't give you guys that because we've had a bit of a, you know, time away. We didn't think the podcast would be as big as it's got, and we'd like to thank every single one of you for, you know, either downloading, listening, or joining in anywhere you can. Then we went on to our story of qualifying. Then we went on to Australia race day. Then we've basically gone on to our summary and predictions for China. Now, any of our stuff you can kind of listen back to. We've had our first podcast, which was a general chit-chat. Yep. Second one was kind of a general chit-chat leading on to a bit of testing and what we expect for 2017. Then this one's been our Australia, shall we say, our Aussie special.
Yeah, yeah.
And we'll work out. Good day, mate. now, this is a knife. So basically, this is the way it's going to go. We'll structure it differently as weeks go on, so we can find what structure works best for us and yourselves.
Get the right flow.
That's it. You can catch us on Twitter on, what is our handle, Stephen?
At pitlane f111, because F1 was taken.
Oh god damn you, whoever you are. So yeah, remember guys,
use it.
So again, Stephen, that Twitter
is at pitlane f11.
Join us on there, guys. If you've got any questions, any comments, if you like this episode, all you have to do on Podomatic or iTunes now is basically like it, give us a 5-star rating on iTunes, give us a comment of what you like. If you want to then go on to Podomatic, do some comments,
like
and
like
it.
Subscribe.
Like and subscribe. Subscribe on both if you want. If you're an iPhone man, do that. If you're a Podomatic man, you know, go on to that. Just subscribe to us, guys, because we're going to be bringing you loads more content as the season comes on. There might even be a few specials in between if we can fit them in for you. Yeah, obviously, British Grand Prix is coming up. You never know what's going to go on with that, do you?
Oh, no. Silverstone. So, oh, that's going to be a circuit.
It's a bag of crazy cats.
Imagine
I had a cat sound.
That's going to be a spectacle in these cars. But we'll get into that. If that's a whole other subject,
that's a whole
other
one.
Forever.
So, we're going to draw to a close. Remember to like, subscribe, comment, guys.
Twitter, everything. If there's any comments on Twitter you want to leave us, anything you think we can improve on, or any facts that we've actually got wrong,
tell us.
Don't be afraid to do it. Just tell us.
Just tell us. This is what we're here for. We're on a learning curve, and you guys are obviously liking listening to us. Again, we thank you for the viewership, listenership that you're giving us. And I'm going to say goodbye. My name's been Tony.
My name's Steve.
And thank you very much. And we'll see you next time in China. Well, hopefully not in... Well, let's say we're going to go China. Steve is looking at me now as if to go, when are we flying to China? No, it's actually we're going to be watching in the living room, Steve. So, yeah, join us next time for the China Grand Prix. Thank you very much. Like, subscribe, comment. Thank you, Stephen.
Thanks, Tony.
See you soon, guys.
Ta-da.